The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
British Prime Minister Keir Starmer has privately vowed to fight any challenge to his leadership that may come after this month's budget or next May's local elections. Over the past number of weeks, there's been increasing chatter about a leadership challenge, with a number of names being talked about as potential successors. In a moment, we'll get a full look at the danger of a challenge with Professor Tim Bale. But first, one of the challengers, Health Secretary Wes Streeting, was the subject of intense speculation of mounting a challenge yesterday, seemingly courtesy of Downing Street staff briefing journalist to that effect. He spoke to Amal Rajan on BBC Radio 4's Today programme earlier about suggestions that he would challenge the Prime Minister.
That briefing is categorically untrue. I think it's extremely unhelpful, not least because it basically says from a number 10 source that the Prime Minister's fighting for his own job. No, he's not. He's fighting to turn around the country. And whoever's been briefing this has been watching too much Celebrity Traitors. And
are you
what they've said
about
me is the most is the most unjustified attack against the faithful since Joe Marler was banished in the final.
Lovely. Are you annoyed about it?
Only to the extent that I'd rather be on. I mean, to be honest, generally it's water off a duck's back, but it is worse still when self-defeating briefing knocks us off course
it's
and stops us
side.
From telling what I think is a strong message of change and delivery that we've got right across the government.
Sure, let me please ask you some direct questions. You can answer them pretty briefly if you like, but I just want to clear this stuff up. So I'll ask you some direct questions about it, then we'll move on to that health policy. The first is, has Keir Starmer contacted you since these briefings?
No, and I think he's got better things to do with his life, and I wouldn't expect him to. In fact, if he does, I'll tell him why you're bothering with this.
All right, what are our listeners to make of the fact that people around him, maybe in number 10, who are meant to be fixing this country, are spending their Tuesday night doing a ring round of journalists to say that you're a troublemaker?
It says that Lucy Powell was right about the culture in number 10, and I'd just like to commend the briefer on at least picking on one of the men instead of the women in the cabinet.
What does that say about the Prime Minister? It's his number 10.
It says that there are people around the Prime Minister who do not follow his model and style of leadership.
Given they're there in his operation and he is the Prime Minister, should he sack those people, do you think?
Yes, but, you know, he's got to find them first.
Tim Baird, Professor of Politics at Queen Mary University in London, is on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Now, is he protesting too much?
Well, I mean, I think he's never made any secret of his ambitions, but I don't think really that Wes Streeting would think at the moment that the Labour Party is going to go for a leadership contest and elect him. I think many of the membership would regard him as too right-wing, although he is a brilliant communicator, as I think he just displayed there. And there's also the common wisdom that if, you know, you're the one who wields the knife, you don't get to wear the crown. Mm. So I would have thought that Wes Streeting, even if he does have ambitions in that direction, would be very careful at the moment.
Yeah. Now, he's very colourful in his communication. He went on to say, nor did I shoot JFK. I don't know where Lord Lucan is. I had nothing to do with Shergar. And I do think that the US did manage to do the moon landings. I don't think they were fake. So there's a winning charm about that, isn't there?
There is. I mean, and he has actually, you know, to use another cliche, got a great backstory as well. I mean, he grew up in poverty. There was even kind of crime and gangsterism back in his family once upon a time. He's, you know, had some very serious health issues, which he's come through. And as you say, he is one of the government's best communicators. He seems to be able to put the government's case in fairly simple language in an appropriate way. But for many Labour members, he's just too far on the right of the party. Mm. That doesn't necessarily mean he could never win, but it's going to make it difficult.
Well, I suppose the Labour Party might have to move slightly right to combat reform.
Well, I think that would be one of the criticisms, actually, that many members of the Labour Party and indeed many MPs would make. They feel that actually, rather than coming out and punching reform hard, which actually Wes Streeting has done recently, they've rather surrendered, if you like, to the agenda. And particularly when it comes to immigration, started talking in ways that really alienate most of Labour's core vote.
Now, we will watch that process as it unfolds, maybe after the budget, maybe after the May elections. It depends whether Keir Starmer does something right to bring the troops behind him. But I want to go on to something else, and this is the BBC. And we want to just hear a short clip of Donald Trump speaking to Laura Ingraham on Fox News. This was recorded on Monday, but aired yesterday. And he was asked, would he go ahead with suing the BBC?
Well, I guess I have to. You know, why not? Because they defrauded the public. and they've admitted it, and their top echelon.
Director General and CEO both resigned. This is within
one of our great allies. You know, this is our supposedly our great ally, BBC. The government has a chunk of that one, I guess. But that's a pretty sad event. They actually changed my January 6th speech, which was a beautiful speech, which was a very calming speech, and they made it sound radical. And they actually changed it. What they did was rather incredible. They're showing me the results later on, the results of what they did, how they butchered it up. But it was very dishonest, and the head man quit.
But tonight you are saying to our viewers that you will go forward and file a defamation lawsuit against the BBC.
Well, I think I have an obligation to do it because you can't get people, you can't allow people to do that.
Now, do you think he will, or is this a classic slap, a strategic lawsuit against public participation?
Well, he's made quite a bit of money out of US broadcasters threatening to bring lawsuits, and therefore they've settled out of court. I think it will be quite difficult for him to do that. He certainly can't do it in the UK. He could do it in Florida. Although, having said that, actually, the letter that his attorney wrote to the BBC suggested that there was a way out of this and they didn't necessarily have to go to law to settle it. So we'll see. I think he would have to prove, actually, even in the United States, that there was a degree of damage done to him. And I think that could be difficult because there's not much evidence that anybody in the US actually saw this, certainly before the general election. And even if they did, it would have been a tiny minority. So the idea that it caused him great reputational damage or that, you know, it caused him financial damage, which is what the lawyer's letter suggested, is a little bit far-fetched, I think. But, you know, nevertheless, you know, he's done this before. It's his MO and he might try it.
However, the idea of the BBC paying over license payers money to Donald Trump, I think, would just could not run in Britain. Could not.
No, I mean, and I think, you know, you've raised a question, which is the extent to which actually this is going to play well for the people who are, if you like, prosecuting the BBC in the United Kingdom. I don't think if it comes to a battle between the BBC and Donald Trump, given how unpopular Donald Trump is, the public in the UK are going to be particularly sympathetic when it comes to any kind of legal dispute.
Final point, it's about the reporting that the British government is going to stop sharing certain intelligence with the US because they fear that what's going on in the Caribbean is utterly illegal and they don't want to be complicit in it. What do you say?
Well, I mean, I think on the point of international law, it's pretty clear, many would say, that actually the US doesn't have a particularly solid case against some of the people it seems to be attacking fairly arbitrarily without much proof as to their wrongdoing. And I think the British government, generally speaking, does try to uphold international law and doesn't want to be seen to be complicit in anything that the Americans are doing. It is awkward, obviously, because we have an intelligence sharing agreement with the US. But, you know, there are cases in which we do withdraw that intelligence and the same goes the other way around. So, you know, this is clearly one that the British government, led, after all, by a lawyer, a human rights lawyer, I think feels pretty strongly about.
Tim Bale, Professor of Politics at Queen Mary University in London. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.